This morning, brother, as I like to do many, many times, start off asking you a question, and that way it gives you something to think about as we go through the first message. My question is for you this morning is, how are you doing with your race of your life? So I titled today's sermon, Run the Race of Your Life. In Monte Carlo, the Grand Prix starts out as one of the most automobile racing challenges on the face of the earth. It can be exciting. It can be a tremendous event if you like automobile racing. Now, I'll be honest with you. I never have understood automobile racing, sitting in a grandstand watching these little bitty cars run around this track. And when people get so excited when they wreck, what is exciting about a wreck? But anyway, race itself runs in Monte Carlo on a very narrow street in Monte Carlo. I have seen pictures of the race in Monte Carlo and these little bitty cars that one man could just hunker down in and drive it. And how in the world they make them things go and go around all these curves in Monte Carlo. But the race is also difficult. Many competitors start the race, and the demanding nature of the Grand Prix is a challenge to each one of those drivers because a lot of them never finish the race. Things happen to them. They never finish the race. Some of the competitors simply run out of steam, and they fall by the wayside. A large number of those who start the race never finish it. Never finish it. And there's many factors that enter into the race why they never finish it. Bad weather sometimes creates a sort of problem for most of those drivers under which would be without rain a normal, you know, conditions. But rain makes the streets very slippery. Some of the drivers even run out of fuel or gasoline on the very last race. Wouldn't that be a shame? You spend years on something just to drive this little bitty car around in a circle, and all of a sudden, the very last lap of finishing the race, you miscalculate. You run out of gas. Miscalculate. Why did you run out of gas? Why didn't you go to a pit, fill up, go, keep going? They run out of gas. Some of the drivers misjudge conditions, which become very bad on the track. They don't think ahead. Why don't they think ahead? The Monte Carlo race circuit is not the fastest race in the world. In fact, it is the slowest race because it takes place in downtown Monte Carlo, with these low, narrow streets going around in a circle here and there. And it's the most difficult. In fact, it's the most difficult to race in the world. Its streets are narrow, uneven, treacherous with hairpins. And here they take these little bitty cars and just scoot them around. Treacherous. Even they take those cars and drive it through a dark tunnel. Don't have a clue where they're going. Just shoot through this tunnel. The race itself is difficult, and accidents could happen to be very fatal. In some cases, they have had accidents that ended up with drivers losing their life. But I want you to stop for a moment and think. I want you to put on your thinking caps this morning, and I'm going to ask you, isn't life that God has called us to much like the Monte Carlo race, to win the race and gain the great prize of all, eternal life? What a race we're running. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, let's look very closely at verse 13. Matthew 7. In verse 13, entered by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. But then that very last part of that, very, very few find the way to eternal life. But life itself is a difficult period of trials and tests, just as much as running a race, driving those little old race cars in Monte Carlo. Life itself is full of trials, full of testing, in which we are to build a godly given character. That's why God allows some of us, and most of us, to go through certain trials in our life. And as we get closer to the end, those trials will increase. I remember years ago, I had a real good friend of mine say, well, you know, I really haven't had a major trial in my life. And I looked at him and I said, give yourself time. Just give yourself time. You will have a severe trial. Let's look over to Matthew chapter 25. We've been over this many times, but look at Matthew 25. And this deals with the 10 virgins. But there is something here that God wants us all to understand about the 10 virgins. Let's just jump down to chapter 10, to verse 10. And while they all were busy, and the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, those who knew how to finish the race. I'm going to tell you how you finish the race before we get out of here. Went in with him at the wedding, and the door was shut. I like to put the door was shut and locked. You know why it's locked? Because no one else gets in. Continue on. Afterward, all the other virgins came and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Brother, wouldn't that be tragic? That would be just like running the Monte Carlo race and a tragedy. You ran out of gas. You had an accident. You didn't finish the race. This parable shows us that we can fail to reach our eternal goal in life because of lack of foreknowledge, foreplanning. And we have to plan for the eternal life every day of our life. It's just not a one-time shot. We have to continue planning. And God's Spirit is fuel for Christians that we need to have a reservoir of it. You know, the last five that were so foolish, what did they do? They didn't take any extra oil with them. They didn't take God's Spirit with them. And what happened to them? They were shut out. And let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, and let's look at verse 48. Matthew 5, verse 48. Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, brother, I want you to stop and think just for a few moments what Christ said. That is the most challenging thing that Christ could have said. It's a challenge. It's not a challenge to just me. It's a challenge to all of you. We could not be given a more difficult task. Christian life is not easy. It's a challenge, not just one day, every day of our life. It's a challenge. I want to emphasize this again. I want you to really think about this. We could not be given a more difficult task. God knew it was going to be difficult. He didn't promise any of us a bed of roses. Well, sometimes I wished he had. Life would have been so much better. So many times people get baptized and they think, hey, you, I've got it made. Your troubles are just beginning. Trials are just beginning. Satan is more interested in derailing you than he is anybody else because he don't have to be concerned about them. God will deal with them in their own time. But Jesus Christ summed up the purpose of life for us. It's a difficult task, It's a long, hard road, and the only way they were going to survive it through his God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. There is no other way. We face difficulty conditions just as those drivers are driving them little old bitty cars around the streets in Monte Carlo. They deal with certain things in their life. The Bible says that we're going to be faced with big problems of all sorts. And the closer that we get to the end of this age, the more difficult those problems are going to be. And the only way that we're going to survive them is stay close to God. There is no other way. The more we see difficulties coming, the closer we need to be to God. If those five virgins were really wise, they would have been very, very close to God. And the door would not have been shut. They would have entered too. But as we get closer to the herd, sometimes we face random trials. And sometimes they come without warning. And we have to be prepared. There's no way that we can get prepared for anything without God's help. No way. And sometimes those trials get so difficult that we want to give up. It's just a power that continues, and we have to be intense on winning 100% each day of our life. That's a challenge. Some days I wish, I think if I just stay in bed all day, I'll be fine. Then I re-roll, that's being lazy. So what good is it to lay in bed all day if you're going to be lazy? You've got to get up and get moving. First thing we do is study. Then I go pray and ask God, please, Dad, just help me to get through another day. Help me to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. When problems arise, people seem of all races, when under good conditions, they drop out. I've seen it in my life. When things are going really smooth, people still drop out. Why? What makes you drop out when things are really good? Then on the other hand, I've seen people drift along in life and everything just seems to be going good for them, but they don't need God. They don't need God. They put God on the back burner, but when they get into trouble, oh man, come to the front of the stove. It's hot back there. So we need to be very, very conscious of staying close to God. And especially as we begin to see the end of this age. Brother, this end of age is going to come so quick, it's going to startle the world. And if we're not careful, it's going to catch some of us off guard. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Let's go to Matthew 13. And let's look at verse 21. Matthew 13, verse 21. Matthew chapter 13, verse 21. Yet you have no roots in himself, but endure only for a while. Why don't people have their roots planted so deep that when a storm comes along, they get pulled right out of the ground? For when tribulations and persecution arise because of the world, immediately, what do? They stumble. They stumble. I've seen the wind really come up in great big old trees. Get blown over. And then I went out and looked at them. And there's little bitty roots. Wasn't holding that tree in the ground. To me, that was a lesson. We have to have our roots planted so deep in God's word, in God's way of life. Jump over to verse 24 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. And let's look at verse 14. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in all the world as a witness, and all nations, and then the end will come. Now jump back up to verse 10. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Brethren, if you look at the world scene, that prophecy is being fulfilled right today. But be careful. Be careful. There are only fair weather drivers with little love for their fellow man left in this world. How many people are really concerned about one another? How many people in the world are really concerned about the love they have for one another? And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, being in God's church, having God's Spirit, are we concerned for one another? Are we really, really concerned about our fellow brethren? Do we pray for those that are sick and afflicted? I think God heard every one of your prayers on my behalf, Lynn's behalf, and our pastor's behalf. Because God does have mercy, but He allows us to go through certain things. Not for your good, but for our good. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be able to depend on Him for everything. He's there. He hasn't gone anywhere. In Philippians 3, verse 13-14, warned us not to think that we have got it made. You know, so many times we come into God's church and we can say, well, I come to church, I keep the holy days, I pay off, I pay tithes, I pay offering, I go to the feast every year. That's great. You're commanded to do that. But is that all there is to it? Is that all that we are to do to enter into eternal life? I don't think so. I don't think so. Forget what is behind and push forward to what is ahead. You know, sometimes that's very hard to do. Sometimes that's hard for me to do. To forget what's happened in the past and push forward and put it behind us. And for me, sometimes that's hard to do. It's hard for me to put certain things that have happened behind me. But let's look at Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, and I want to look at verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, do not count yourself to have temptations, but one thing I do. Forget those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. What is ahead of us? Eternal life. Being changed. I can't wait to get rid of this sick and broke down mind and body. And not worry ever about it. Sick again. Not ever worrying about anything, but to be able to help change this world. Verse 14, I press forward to the goal of the prize and upward calling of God Jesus Christ. Brethren, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Press ahead. Don't give up. Don't stop. Go. I want you to remember that in any race, the only way to attain the prize is to finish the course. And that's why God says you have to endure to the end. Endure to the end. In our Christian life, races attain the price of salvation and eternal life. We must endure to the end. That's the key. So just how does one endure all the temptations, all of the sin that faces us every day of our life? Well, you know what? Paul really understood a lot of that. Paul understood. If you look at Paul's life before he was converted, he had a lot to be thankful for when God opened his eyes. Look what he did to a lot of people, Jewish people too, how he persecuted them, sent them to prison. He had a lot to push forward to, didn't he? But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. And everyone who competes for the prize is tempted in all things, aren't we? Christ was tempted in all things as well as we are in our life. Now they do not attain a perishable crown, but an imperishable crown. Verse 26, therefore I run through, not with certainty, thus I fight not as one who bears in the air. Brethren, Paul knew what it was like. He knew what it was like. But look at verse 27. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, unless when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. Paul knew that if he wasn't careful and he didn't endure, he could be disqualified. And the way to do it is the same way that Christ showed every one of us when he was a human being on the face of the earth, by calling on the power of the Creator of the universe for help. Even in his last few hours on this earth, he cried out to God. He prayed and prayed, and he couldn't even keep his disciples awake because he knew what he was facing. Sometimes I'm glad that God doesn't tell us everything that we're going to be facing in the near future. We are on a Christian track. We are on a race of eternal life. And to win that prize, we must run the race of our life and not giving up. Thank you.